Welcome to the From the Field broadcast, recorded from the Amazon Basin. Listen now as Brother Andrew brings you good news from a far country.
First Samuel chapter 11, I want to read there first, and then I'll read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. First Samuel chapter number 11, here's what the Word of God says. Then Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes, and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel, and then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Now let's look quickly here in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and look here at verse number 17. Paul the apostle praying and has recorded his prayer for the Ephesian believers there in Ephesus, and here's what he says, that the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Paul said in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I'm looking here this morning on a very simple thought on spiritual blindness. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 11, this first couple of verses there, first four verses, it's an amazing story. We know here that Nahash, the Ammonite, he's come and he's encamped against the children of Israel, the people there living in Jabesh-Gilead. Jabesh-Gilead was on Transjordan, on the other side of the Jordan River. And so the enemy comes and he camps round about them. And so these people of Jabesh-Gilead, you remember, they never went on over into Canaan land. They never went on over into the land God promised them, but they stayed on there on the western bank of the Jordan River. And so while they were there now, as far as I can tell, they have not sinned a great sin against God to cause this evil upon them, to cause this enemy to bring judgment upon them by the hand of God. But they're still in covenant with God as far as God giving them the land there that they where they're at. But as a nation in a whole, Israel as a nation in a whole has sinned against God. And so God has begun to punish and begin to judge Israel because of their sin. It's amazing how we're here in America today. Though we individually may not have sinned or crossed ways of God in a great way, but I believe as a nation, as a whole, we can look to God and say, God, forgive us of our sin.
because we no doubt kill babies every day. There's just things, our leadership and our country, our homes. There's a great effect of sin in our land today. And so here now the enemy has come against them. As we see the enemy on our side, on every avenue, the enemy is almost bombarding the church today with different schemes and tactics and just with plans to utterly destroy us and bring reproach upon the name of Christ. Now, what I find here is that here the men of Jabesh, that they're inside a walled city there. They're inside a fortified city. Jabesh Gilead was a fortified city. It was one of those ones where they could literally close the gates and be safe on the inside. They had cisterns. They had storehouses of food. They could have easily decided, hey, we're going to fight this fight. We're not just going to sit down and allow the enemy to trample over us. But what happens here? They without even raising a shield, without even pulling a sword out of his sheath, they walk out of a fortified city and they look at Naash and they said, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. Without even raising a fight, without even making a stand. They're so quickly now to just want to seemingly try to still be pleasing to God, but yet try to serve the enemy. Now here's what happens. Naash says this. By way of introduction, he says this. He says, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for reproach upon all Israel. He says, here's the deals. He said, if you would make a covenant with me, in other words, if you want this battle to end before it even gets started, I want all you to come out and I'm going to gouge out, thrust out, pull out, poke out all of your right eyes. And what's amazing to me is that their response, they said, give us 7 days respite. In other words, they said, give us 7 days to ponder over this thing. He said, if nobody comes to rescue us, nobody comes to help us, then without a fight, without even us drawing a sword, we're going to come out to where you are and we're going to allow you to gouge out our right eyes. You think in your mind, where's the attitude of, I'm going to go down fighting? But here the enemy now, he knows that if he were to gouge out both their eyes, they're useless. He's just created a large problem for himself. He's created a people that's totally dependent on the enemy for help and for food, for all these things. But he knows if I can gouge out your right eye, then that leaves you with one eye to where you can see to be my slave. Now, in this particular day and time in this Eastern culture, they were accustomed to fighting. They were accustomed to raising their shield with the left hand and defending with their shield, defending with their left, and taking their sword or their blade in the right hand. They would be on the battlefield defending the enemy, and they would hide behind that shield. The shield would cover that left portion of their face. They used that right eye to be able to spot the weakness in the enemy's armor. They would use the right eye to be able to see where to attack. And so they would defend with the left, and then out from around they would see where to attack with the right. And so what the enemy is saying here now, he's saying, I don't want to render you totally useless. What I want to do is I want to take the fight out of you. What I want to do is make you useless on the battlefield. What I want to do is to allow you to think you can still please God, but yet you're of no use on the battlefield. That you can still, with the left eye, be my slave and serve me. And so what we find here is this is one of the same things the Apostle Paul found with the Ephesian believers. It's also a great dilemma which we face here in our day, where we find the saints of God, the Christian believers that have been born again by the grace of God, they know that it's by grace they're saved. They know that God has saved them. But my friend, God has a plan. He designed it in such a way that He saved us. He, at the same moment God saved us, He equipped us to fight a good fight of faith. Now, God did not save us and give us a Bible and say, well, do the best you can. I hope you get there. That's not the God I serve today. But God saved us. He equipped us with everything that God put inside of us to fulfill the purpose of God, to bring honor and glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so here what we find now is this. We find Christians and average churches across America, a fundamental Baptist church where we find Christians that are in the race of God. They've been saved. They're in the family of God. But they have no idea all they possess. They have no idea the riches of grace they hold. It's as if they're standing there armored. They've got their shield. They've got their sword. But they don't even know what all they've got. And it's as if they're spiritually blinded. They know they're in the army of God. They know they're in the family of God. But when that one little sin rises against them, they fall every time. When the witness that just, I hear folks say things like this, preacher, I'm doing pretty good. I've got the victory over everything, but this one little thing, whether it's a mindset of bitterness or an attitude, or maybe it's some sensual sin or whatever it case may be. Maybe it's some secret sin or whatever it is, we find ourselves saying, I've got victory over everything but. And that's not the picture that I get when I see a Christian soldier. God's equipped them to fight a good fight of faith and to have the victory. What we find this is we also find Christians who've been born again by the grace of God and all they have is the defense. They can raise the shield. They can raise the shield. But they don't know how to thrust the sword. They're spiritually blinded. Now, Satan would love, first of all, for you to never come in contact with the saving grace of God. So he does everything trying to get you to be away from the saving grace of God. He'll throw things in your past to lead you down a path of sin, of drunkenness, of drugs, and all these things to get you as further as away from the grace of God as you possibly can. But what he often don't realize is that the grace of God can go further than the path of sin, thank God. The grace of God can rescue you from any type of a lifestyle. The grace of God can be just in saving the pauper on the street as he can in saving the prince in the palace. Thank God for the good, saving grace of God. Amen. And so we find here now, not only does Satan, but he also desires for the Christian, for the child of God, to live in defeat. If he can't keep you from being saved, then the next thing he wants to do is try to keep you with your lip pushed out, with your lifestyle up and down, your in and out, to where you're you're of no benefit on the battlefield for the glory of God.
Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast today. Hope it's been a blessing and a help to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina 28904. That's Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.